blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dharma, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. are here to
end suffering.
If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So what shall we look at this morning?
I mentioned a few weeks ago that I am now living my 70th year, and I have a plan to do something every month. Different. And I don't know whether that means do something normal differently or do something different or do something different differently. I don't know what that means. But I was talking to one of our most recent yoga teachers yesterday and was saying how at the New Year's retreat, the yoga was lovely, and yet, any time I do yoga, any time I'm in a setting where I don't get to choose,
in a setting where you don't get to choose,
yeah, what I'm going to do. Because, you know, day in and day out, up in my little house, I mean, it's a false autonomy, but it feels like autonomy.
Feels like, yeah, feels like there's a choice.
Yeah. So whenever I do yoga of any sort, of course, the body, it's the mind and body are one thing, okay? The body is being asked to move in ways that June wouldn't normally move it. In fact, actively resists moving it. And so the energy changes. And so what happens is the mental patterns change. And, oh God, the status quo hates that. Just hates it. And, from identity, June makes it. And so during meditation, we're, you know, halfway through this month, and I haven't known what I would do for my different thing. But during meditation, what came to me is mess. Just mess with the status quo. Just mess with it just fine. And it could be yoga, it could be those wonderful, helpful joint freeing exercises that we did. That messes with it.
Wow. So just mess with the status quo. And And you're seeing how this fits into that commitment to do something different every month during this 70th year.
Yeah.
And to just notice all that arises around this particular yoga, which is something that the identity hates, hates. And that with this, with the movement, with that physical movement, there's that resistance that even comes to moving in new ways. And did you say there was a mental shift that happens with it?
Yeah, when the body moves in unusual, different ways, the thoughts change.
The thoughts change.
And the mental energy, in quotes, whatever that is, changes.
Uh-huh.
And almost all the time, I remember times kind of liking yoga, but almost all the time, immediately negativity and resistance grabs it.
Wow.
And that's what goes on. And I noticed that.
Uh-huh.
So in the retreat setting, I do it anyway.
Yeah.
And just breathe and enjoy as much as find as much enjoyment in it as letting go of that kind of thing can find. But retreat ends, come back home, and the status quo just builds right back in. So I'm going to mess with it.
So there is this willingness now to mess with that status quo. And you know, it's so much resistance. Gotta wonder, like so much resistance arises to doing these postures.
I don't find it mysterious at all.
Uh-huh.
Maybe there's a whole lot to see about it that I don't see.
Yeah.
And that karmic stream to which I seem to adhere likes status quo.
Status quo.
Likes even. Mm-hmm. And just taking a little electric mixer and sticking it on.
What just arose too is you mentioned that in your home, it feels like there's this illusion of autonomy. And there was this willingness this morning to shake the status quo. And in some way, just by doing it, you know, you weren't sure whether it's going to be through yoga or joy freeing exercises or what it was. But in a way, that seems that it's kind of shaking that up too.
Yeah. Do that. I've got this lovely, thick, soft mat.
Uh-huh.
Put it out in the middle of the floor. Uh-huh. That's a nice room. Uh-huh. Do the joint opening exercises and pay really close attention to how that all triggers. Because so often I'm just seeing this as I'm talking in yoga sessions during retreats. It's all wrapped up and firing before I notice it. That whole system is that whole grabbing of the energy and turning it into resistance, and I don't like this, is going 100 miles an hour before I get it.
Wow. Yeah. You might say that even at hearing that it's going to be offered in the retreat, there's this system that starts to work up. And so that you actually get to it. There's already this whole conversation going, and so now there's this opportunity to, like, pay really close attention to see what's going on here.
Do I really dislike doing pointing the hand down and pointing the hand up quite as much as it tells me to? Is that really going to make a big hole in my day? God, it's just absurd, and I'm so far for it.
Yeah, just saying it out loud, you know, like you said, it just revs up. You're not even aware of what's going on, but just even saying it out loud, that investigation is, you know, in here, that investigation has already begun, and to see the absurdity of it, see the absurdity of it.
It is. It's absurd. It's absurd. And it's unkind.
It's unkind. It's usually a pretty good clue about where it's coming from, that unkindness.
So I'm going to make a commitment each time I'm here this month. I'm going to report how it's going.
So not only is there going to be, you know, shaking up the status quo and really watching carefully, and there's a commitment in every group to report how that's going.
And I don't know how, but I'm going to find a way to remember to do that, because that is just the biggest. It's got to be the recording and listening, but that's just the biggest thing, it's remembering, because forgetting, it's just enormous. It's just enormous.
So there's another status quo to shake up. The one of forgetting.
Oh, that's, yes. There we go. Help me. Okay.
Thank you. Lakota.
I'm loving this conversation. It's just huge. There's so much, there's so much in it. Hearing that, I was just going to that place of, I love that. That body and mind are one. When I do something different with the body, that it changes the thought pattern. That's so my experience. And when I do, not just with the body, but anything differently, it changes the thought patterns. I had the image of like a needle in the groove in a record.
Yeah.
And it's like the doing anything differently is just jostles the needle and bumps it out of the groove, so it's not playing that same karmic loop. And there's a little bit of, it can feel like discomfort or disruption, but it's really like possibility. It's
wow.
Like an opportunity for a complete different body-mind experience.
So you can see that changing, shaking up anything, whether it's, you know, a movement in the body or a mental pattern, is just like, you know, getting that needle to jump in that habitual groove in the record. And it's possible to see that as an opportunity rather than, oh, this doesn't feel good.
Yeah. It feels uncomfortable to the system that likes the smooth, the status quo, but it's like, to the heart, it's like, wow. Here we go.
Right. Wow. Yeah, to that groove, it's like, oh, this doesn't feel
good
at all, but whoa, there's that freedom of the, to the heart.
For the heart that's tired of that song that's been playing for a million years. Yeah, and then my experience too with yoga, it's just so amazing to see the power of that conditioned system, because there's a particular kind of yoga that I will practice that I like to do, and then, well, I don't like to do it. Ego doesn't like to do it, but I do it. And it's just so wild to see that, like, while I'm doing it, it feels amazing.
Yeah.
There's all this energy released. It just feels delicious. I feel awake, energized, just in love. I mean, it's amazing. And then afterwards, oh my gosh, my whole day has changed. It's like there's so much energy freed up for life. There's just all this joy. And often at the end of the day, looking back, there's massive gratitude for the guy who showed up and did it. And then recognizing that, like, that actually was probably one of the highlights of my day, that experience of that energy released. And I see that 1,000 times, 10,000, 100,000 times, and still I fall for a story that's like, I hate yoga. You know, it's like, how is that possible? That's amazing.
Despite all the evidence
of
how, what a delicious experience this is, and the energy freed up, and how it contributes to the day, you can still fall for a story of I hate yoga. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows us, like, what we're up against, yeah. You know? But, yeah. You know, it's monumental. It's just the, you know, the, the brick wall kind of experience of that karmic system. And then reminds me of the gratitude for the power of the tool of recording and listening. Because, mm-hmm. of course, now I've got, you know, probably 100 recordings about I love yoga. Yeah. And here's, you know, here's what the voice is saying. Here's my actual experience.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's just remembering to listen to those. So you're getting talked out of that, too, you know? Uh-huh. But,
Wow. Yes, and just seeing what a human is up against. To just make different choices that are not in that karmic groove. And, to just really, it's got to engender compassion. Or, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now that you mention it. It does.
Yeah. Yeah. This human that's, you know, given it so much, recording over and over again, you know, capturing this experience to just change that habitual pattern.
Boy,
yeah,
that's easy to overlook that part of it. Thanks for that. Yeah. Oh, wow. There was one other thing I wanted just to report on that I saw a different kind of change on the subject, but it was a lovely, periodically, and it seems like often in the monastery, there'll be a beautiful Zen lesson from the animal world.
Mm-hmm.
Like some, you know, and I had that experience just, I think day before yesterday, I was standing out by the archway, by the steps, by that kind of corner garden where there's those lovely red flowers, and that little ruby-throated hummingbird came up to visit and was enjoying the different flowers. And I was just watching it, appreciating it, like, wow, what an amazing creature. And dipped its beak into like five or six different flowers. And then there was, by the coat rack, there was a little red folding umbrella tipped over sideways. That actually, like, kind of from that angle, it like looked like a flower. Like, but like 100, you know, 1,000 times bigger than those other flowers. And it was just awesome to watch. So the hummingbird goes zip, 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 zip to all these real flowers. And then comes over to the umbrella. Because it thought it was a flower. It was like, it tries it. It's like, meh. And goes in and tries to get a taste of the giant flower, you know? And it was awesome. It like went in and it was like, nope, that's not it. And then it goes back to the other flowers kind of thing. And I just, wow, I had this amazing moment. I mean, it's strange. It's a strange thing because it, we were talking about it. Like, I had this like really powerful moment of like this lesson kind of went in and like gratitude and tears all at once. It was like, wow. And it's just what I saw in that is like, I mean, it's like all of us, right? I mean, here's the little flowers throughout our day. You know, there's so many little flowers throughout our day that like nourish us and give us what we need and that we can have so much gratitude for. And then there's that giant, enormous, imaginary kind of pie in the sky thing. I get pulled out of the present moment, out of gratitude, into a conversation ahead about, you know, the flower that's 1,000 times bigger than these little ones kind of thing, you know? But like that little guy, it's like, it was just great that, you know, who could blame it for wanting to, you know, if there's a flower that really is 1,000 times bigger, who could blame it for wanting to?
Yeah.
But it was just great to see that like, it tried it, it's like, nope, that's not it. It just goes right back to the real deal. And I just saw what was possible here. It's like, you know, conditioned mind will pull me out of gratitude for the little amazing miracles, all the nectar, all the good stuff right here, into that story about the, you know, the amazing, you know, pie in the sky thing. And then, you know, I could just like the hummingbird say, like, well, I mean, who could blame a human for doing that, right? Who could, I mean, you think that that's possible. Who could blame us for wanting that? But then you realize, that's not it. There's nothing in there. Yeah. There's no nectar in it. Yeah. So I'm going to come right back here to the real little flowers that are right here in front of me.
Yeah. Who can blame a human for, you know, going for that big flashy, you know, what the mind will tell it is, oh my gosh, look, here's it, this, you know, huge flower. And then to go back to the real flower. you know, to get the nectar there. And to have that experience of standing there in the archway in presence, to be open to the teaching of the hummingbird, you know, to just, and to experience the gratitude for that, of watching this little creature, you know, in those beautiful little red flowers, getting the real nectar of life.
Oh.
And for a moment being distracted by the flashy big, so pseudo flower. And just watch, seeing so much in that. So much in our, you know, that's our lives.
For sure, yeah. And as you reflect that back, I see that standing there in that archway and receiving that was getting the nectar from like a real flower.
Yeah.
That's like a real present moment experience where I'm receiving something, I'm grateful, perfectly, you know, sustained, nourished, fulfilled in that moment. You know, it doesn't need anything more.
Yeah, it's beautiful. That's so, just standing there and receiving that nectar right there in the presence of that and being in that moment. Thank you. Jim?
A few things I'm reminded of in the conversation. One is similarly just that the challenge of what we're up against and the compassion that that evokes. The phrase that came through as I was listening is, the enemy has an outpost in my mind. Just that place of, it's so simple what we're doing, so why is it this hard?
It's so simple what we're doing, so why is it so hard? The enemy has an outpost in our mind.
So a couple of themes that keep popping up for me in my own practice of late, I'm reminded of in the conversation, and one is a place of surrender and kind of really to the best of my ability. The way I've been talking about it, it's sort of a clumsy way, but to be telling the truth to myself about what's going on. So in that sense of like being really, like especially with the recording, being really transparent about what's going on, and not try to make that be any different. So, you know, God, I really don't want to do yoga, you know, what's going on is that there's a huge resistance to yoga and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And what I find in that, it's similar to what I was talking about, I think, on Thursday night, is that's assisting to move through the sort of managing that can happen, you know? Come on, let's do yoga, let's, you know, but it's sort of the other side of the duality from, I don't want to do yoga. It's the, let's just do the yoga and blah, 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 you know? So be the right person, do the right thing. And it's not the same as joy and freedom.
Wow, so using the recorder and to use it as an opportunity to, I forget how you said it, but to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Wow, as you say that, like that's a skill right there.
Yes.
And to be able to say, for instance, you know, I really don't want to do yoga, versus, we're going to do yoga and we're going to, you know, get in there and we're going to do this and we're going to work through it and, you know, it's good for you and, you know.
Right.
And so to just, to be,
You're right. It is, that's a good way to say it. It's a skill because I don't want to do yoga. Well, is that true? Right? So that's what makes it tricky in terms of how to talk about it. But what I find is it comes from a place of, that curiosity, what? You know, kind of like we just talked about, I know that I love doing yoga, and I know that yoga is great for me, and I know that all these things, so what?
Yeah.
Right? So kind of really, wow. And what it feels like is that how, coming from that how of, maybe it's the Gary Zukav place of, you know, 5% of you really makes a decision, 95% of the universe gets behind you, of that one step of, boy, this is not what I actually want. I don't actually want to be in this place of resistance. I don't actually, like, I've been looking around meditation, like, wow, there's a lot of conversation happening. But instead of like, no, okay, you know, here we go. We're going to do it well. We can do it. You know, just kind of really just talking about what's going on. And it feels like what that does is it opens me, in this case, to being supported to actually have the experience I want to be having.
Wow. You know? Wow. So that's, so to, you know, to have this opportunity to be truthful, to say, and to do it in an attitude of curiosity,
mm-hmm.
you know, to not just be in this place of thinking that that's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. but to be open to exploring and hearing, really mm-hmm. hearing, it sounds like you're saying,
mm-hmm.
What the person is saying.
Yes.
And in that attitude of curiosity, is that so?
Yeah. You know, I realize it is very similar to what I was talking about when we had a group on Thursday night. And I had, you know, this seemingly tiny thing happened, you know, but I could tell that there was a lot in it, that there's so, it was so familiar,
yeah.
and there were just so many familiar sort of, I was just talking about, so many familiar mental patterns around it, that I thought, okay, let me just turn on the recorder, that was kind of an example of it, and just go, wow, all right, here's what's going on, you know, here's what's going on. And it was amazing what came out of it in terms of seeing, I assume I know, right? Because
yeah.
it's so familiar. I know
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
I know what's
yeah.
going on.
Yeah.
I've been through this a million times. But the truth is, I'm not actually present,
yeah.
not truly present to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a way in which turning on the recorder and really saying it, well, in that case, it created a huge amount of emotion
wow.
in the form of compassion
mm-hmm.
for the person seeing that, yeah, this quote tiny thing was an illustration of some pretty intense self-hatred
mm-hmm.
that gets really hidden in plain sight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that there's a lot that happens, I think this is part of why it's reminding me in the conversation today, there's a lot that happens in terms of, I don't want to do that. That's actually a form of self-hate.
Uh-huh.
That's like the person, the actual human being, is trapped inside of, quote, who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't serve me.
Yeah.
And it's not leading to a place of freedom. And it's not leading to a place of joy. And that getting on the recorder and beginning to talk about that from wherever I am, however messy or not right or bad person or wherever it seems like supposedly I'm starting, but starting from as honest a place as I can seems to really be the portal through to the that kind of authentic place, I guess.
As you talk, it's that, wow, it's just willing to be present.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
to have no conversation about the past or the future. Like, I know what that was.
Yep.
I know where it's going. I don't need to talk about it.
Yep.
And just seeing the self-hatred in that, you know, to just pick up the recorder and drop all of that conversation and say, this is what's going on now.
Yeah.
And to do that in an attitude of openness and, I just can't help but it's love.
Yeah.
It is love that generates that kind of assistance to the human who's so trapped behind that. I know who I am.
Yeah.
I don't need to look at this. We've looked at this 1,000 times.
Yeah.
But, you know, just cutting through that, shaking up, talk about shaking up the status
exactly.
quo.
Exactly. That's such a good point.
Yeah.
It is shaking up the status quo, and you're right. It really is love. And I think that's where some of the emotion comes from.
Yeah.
Is kind of on both sides. Like, I think it's almost startling to the human being of like, kind of takes the breath away of like, wow, she's really seeing through this, you know, seeing what's actually like, you know, so often sort of on that hidden level being called a bad person and the wrong person and all that, and seeing like, that's not true, it's not true, you know, and so really being seen in that way, and that the compassion of seeing that someone's trapped in there.
And the compassion of seeing that someone is willing to stand beside that trapped person and walk through it.
Yeah, and it's interesting that, I forget what, how you just said it, but it reminded me that, and that the image of the flowers and the umbrella really work is a good analogy for it, that I keep seeing that such a simple reminder that's so important that Sherry talks about all the time, but is that pretend moment that is a, it's like, there's a momentary coming to, and then what can happen so fast on top of that is, I mean, all kinds of things. An assessment, a judgment, a criticism, a comparison, a plan, you know, something that happens just so quickly, so right next to that coming to, that getting present, that the getting present really quickly gets covered over. And that's that place, I think, that people talk about, well, yeah, I mean, I'm in the present, but the present stinks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's not the present.
Yes.
And that's another one of those places where I've almost been playing with it with a sense of humor of like, all right, well, this is definitely not the moment. Because it's no fun. And it's not joyful. And it's not relaxing. And then with that sort of, quote, telling the truth of, all right, this isn't it, it opens to, all right, well, what is it? And ironically, that's the present.
Wow.
Because that's what's happening.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
And then it's all right.
Yeah.
There's this sense of adequacy to that. Mm-hmm. This sense of like, gosh, if we can just keep telling the truth, we'll be all right. It's not that it's not going to get us. It's not that I'm saved now and from now on, which is, of course, what will come in the millisecond. Okay, great. That's perfect. That's a, that from now on.
The whole plan.
Wait. That's not the moment.
Yeah.
Right? That's not the moment. But if we can just keep training ourselves to tell the truth in that way, you know, we'll be all right. Because that gives, it's like it gives life access to us. Mm-hmm. You know, so instead of me trying to do it, I just keep putting myself in the way of life. Doing it, or whatever you talk about that.
Mm. So in that being honest, and that being true, that's it's opening the doorway to life, to being in the presence of life, instead of being in that split second, you know,
split second later
thing that happens when the system grabs that, you know, that honesty or that truthfulness and wants to make a plan out of it.
Yeah.
And then noticing how this becomes, you know, not fun.
Yeah.
And, And
so get us from
the present stinks because,
hey, this, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Because it's hard or it's boring or it's depressing or it's bleak.
Yeah.
It's lonely. It's, you know, there's so many things that we can train ourselves to realize. Here are the clues.
Yeah.
You know, here are the clues. And it's amazing, really, because then anything could be happening, you know? So there's that, as was talked about earlier, I relate to that, you know, that status quo kind of, okay, well, that's what's going on. That's all right. You know, we can start from wherever we are.
Yeah, as long as there's an honesty about it, as long as there's just this acknowledging it, and, you know, that self-hate doesn't come into, like, with the fix-it plan. And,
The fix-it plan or the forget it, I'm never going to get it, or, you know, whatever whatever version it's serving up in any at any given time. Just that kind of that alchemy of using the very thing. You know?
Using the very thing that seems that is... that's not
proof that we're not okay.
Proof that we're not. It's not the right thing. It's not the okay thing. But using that very thing as the doorway to a relationship with life.
To nothing wrong.
To nothing wrong.
To nothing wrong. Yeah.
So I've kind of noticed why I come to these. I think, well, geez, what's happened this week? It's like, oh. It was like 50 things, you know, and it's interesting, and then that led to the thought of, how come they're not all in my recording? How come I'm not recording all these? And then I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
like they just come so fast, they come and go so fast.
So you noticed and a lot came up this week. And
Every week is like, it's always like this.
It's just jam-packed, and it doesn't get on the recorder.
There's all kinds of things happening all the time. Yeah. So anyway, so I guess there's three things I wanted to mention. Let's see if I can remember them. So one was that, so I've been practicing the feeling, the experience of unconditional love. And the thing that I thought was interesting is somewhere along the line it dawns on me, this has been in every book that Shorter wrote that I've ever read. And it always went, whoosh. It's like, when I started it, it was like, this is a new thing I can try, this is great. And somewhere along the line I realized, this has always been around, this has been around all the time, and like it always just went, whoop. So anyway,
just a moment for the folks that aren't going to have a visual on that.
Okay.
You know, just noticing that every book that Sherry ever wrote has talked about unconditional love.
Right.
And it's always just not landed.
Right. She even talks about practice the experience of unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Practice the experience of, it's like those words were not written. But they were there. They were there. You know, like in my 30-day retreat, it's right there.
Just not being able even to see the words, take them in, yes.
Not really take them in, or the resistance is just like, well, that's a nice idea. But so fortunately, that's not a problem now. So now I've been practicing. It's been fun. And I guess that's it. It's been fun. It's been great. I'm working on it. There's something else I was going to mention. But oh. When I'm practicing the experience of unconditional love for me, is what I'm really noticing is first I slow down, right? And for me, I have like this warmth that comes from here, it just builds outward.
Warmth from the heart.
Right, from the heart. Uh-huh. And it seems to like come all the way out, you know, to here. When it's cold, I notice it doesn't even come as far. But then the next thing is my heart starts to quicken. I start to get excited. Uh-huh. And I realize it's like, oh, I can go out and play. I can do this, I can do that. Look, at there's this. There. It's like, first there's the relaxation, then suddenly everything opens up. Uh-huh. And like, this should not be a big surprise, you know, that Sherry describes it like that. Uh-huh. But you know, to experience it is completely different than to hear somebody else talk about it, or to read about it, or conceptualize it, you know? It's like, oh, that is how it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanna, you know, so the experience I was using when I was at my grandmother's, you know, that's where I'm at right now, and I instantly, like, I wanna go play, I wanna go running in the woods, I don't wanna go down the creek, I wanna go up to the attic, I wanna go down to the basement. I wanna lay on the couch. No, it's like, I'm so excited, there's so many options, this is gonna be great, hours are gonna go by, I'm gonna have so much fun, you know, and when, like the one time I was playing outside and there was a snake up there and I ran in the house. I was like, oh, there's a snake there, you know? And, you know, it wasn't a problem. He's gone by then. We went back outside. But.
So just really, so having the direct experience of what unconditional love feels like in the body and opening possibilities in a life of that, you know, just feeling that warmth, that relaxation, that, wow, I could go and do any number of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see how that connects with anything. Uh-huh. Well, there's nothing wrong. Uh-huh. You know, if I can get to that place where there's nothing wrong, then it just like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's where I'm at with that. So something that I've been struggling with, I'm not sure what to do, so I just thought I would just talk about it a little bit. The whole time I've been here, I've been thinking about my response to authority, my reaction to being right. There's all these permutations that come out of that. And the one I'm working on now is like really, and it's actually going back, it's sort of like back to the future. It's like, so I have a task. What does it mean to do that task? Like, how do I do it well? And I thought, well, if I'm alone, I'm doing it myself, how would I do it? And I see, oh, there's conditioning there, too. But if I'm alone and I give myself enough time, there isn't conditioning. I just do it. And the other thing is that I naturally, maybe it's conditioning, maybe it's how I am, maybe it's conditioning so deep, I want like to do things at a very high level of execution. Particularly, I like things to be visually sharp. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it takes time to do that. Mm-hmm. And I see other people doing things that maybe I've done, like, why can't I just do that one? It's so easy. I project, they're not having any problems, right? You know, I mean, I don't know, but that, I'm like, it's so easy. Like, why does it have to be so neat and tight and everything has to be the way it is? Mm-hmm. And where I'm at right now is, I don't know, I guess it just has to be that way for now. Mm-hmm. I know, like, in my own life, when I have control over it, like, I used to be really meticulous about putting up pictures and measuring it, and getting the level out, and doing all this stuff. And then I realized, you know what, after about a month or so, you just don't notice any of that stuff. Like, the picture could be crooked for 3 months and you don't even notice. And it's like, I don't need to do this. So now I'm just like, eye it up and I hammer it in and I'm done. It's great. You know, like, so I have learned, I don't have to be meticulous. But to start out, that's always the way I start out. And of course I thought, why don't I just be sloppy? What I would consider sloppy. And I can definitely tell you that idea just terrifies me. I'm like, what? And which is an indication I should do it, except that I don't think I can do it, like, not right now, you know. I'm just gonna be like sloppy about it. And so really, that's all I'm looking at it, that's where I'm at with it. And what it's really about is about fear. It's about fear, about that even when I'm doing my best, even though I'm trying my best, even though I'm trying to bring my best to it, that there are going to be negative repercussions from other people or from just in general. I guess mainly from other people, but time is also part of that whole thing. And that I'm going to suffer as a result. And the desire to somehow come up with the ultimate solution, which I know is not there, really. And then how much of just, do I just accept this is just the way I am? And even accept, well, there might be repercussions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I choose unconditional mm-hmm. love, you know. And sometimes, like, I listened to my tape when I had my session with Sherry. We actually talked about this in a different way. But, like, when I listened to the tape, I got it. 5 minutes later, I can't get there. I can't get to that place where I really feel unconditional love. Mm-hmm. I feel anxiety and tension, and I've got to figure this out, and I'm like, I can't figure it out, and then, you know, that's just that loop, until eventually I'm like, oh, just whatever it is, get your attention off it.
I choose unconditional love.
Yeah, I choose unconditional love, right, yeah.
Thank goodness that guidance session is on the recorder.
Right. And then I had forgotten it. Like, I remembered the content, but I had forgotten how it can get me to where I need to be. You know, it's like, I've heard that. I know that. Uh-huh. No, I have to hear it again.
I have to hear it again. Yeah. And so it sounds like you've seen a whole lot around the area of executing tasks and just seeing so much about, you know, looking at what it's like to do it when there's no one around and when, you know, there is someone around and what if I did it sloppy, and what if I did it, you know, executed it perfectly, and exploring all of that. And I think you noticed, I mean, you mentioned that what if I did it sloppy gives rise to, like, so much terror. Yeah, and seeing that, well, that might be a place to explore, but also noticing maybe there's not the willingness to do that right now. So I choose unconditional love.
Right. Because mm-hmm. it really ultimately is about, can I be okay regardless of what anyone else thinks, whatever anyone else does, can I be okay with that? They do their thing, I do my thing. Can I be okay with what they do and what I do? Mm-hmm. The answer right now is no. No. I try, and then I mostly fail. But you know.
We're back to that being honest, getting the recorder out and saying it's so and true, and then, you know, wow, that's interesting.
But there's movement, and I can see it, and sometimes it dissolves, and sometimes it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the other thing I was going to mention. So this is how it becomes no big deal. So if something bothers me, I have all the thoughts. It's, all the thoughts are just like, this sucks, this is awful, blah, blah, blah. And what I like about this, because I don't understand it, is with my awareness practice, I sort of get bored of thinking about it. I'm just like, okay, well, whatever. What are you going to do? Jump in your car and run away over this? You know? And I'm like, well, no, that's ridiculous. Of course I'm not going to do that. And then, I don't know, I just lose interest in it.
You just lose interest in it, as it seems like the key phrase.
Right. I mean, it's like, I'm getting some distance. I see it. You know, it's obvious from the very first time I started meditating, this has always happened. Things relax. Why do they relax? Because I guess it's because I'm getting a little bit of distance and I can see it as a process. And just that much, it's just like, I could be in the process and I could pull out of it and I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not interesting enough to stick with. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful because, you know, it doesn't take any, it's not like trying to understand it or understand the karma or anything. Yeah, it's just like, it's there. It's still right. I can go back to it anytime I want. I just don't feel like it.
Yeah. And as you started out describing that experience of unconditional love and what that feels like in the body and that excitement and that, you know, to have those two places to compare to.
Right.
And, you know, and it just sounds like, you know, you're looking this morning at, oh, there's this place and then there's that place. And, you know, just getting to that place of choosing something different.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the nice thing about being stuck in my hermitage for what seemed like forever, I thought I was going to get old and gray there, is that you're like, okay, I'm here, what am I going to do? You know, okay, I guess I'll listen to the tape again. And then, you know, of course there's stuff there. There's always stuff there.
Mm-hmm. So seeing the gift of being in a place again, where there's like no, you don't get to make the decision.
And there's something better to do, so I'll do it.
Here you are. And then having that opportunity to, and taking the opportunity to listen to that recording and finding new information in it.
Yeah. So that was my week.
A lot. Thank you.
Just having this image during group about, you know, why we practice together. Because it was kind of like I was looking at something, you know, out in the forest or in a series of caves or something, and I have a flashlight, I'm looking, and well, that's quiet. And then somebody else walks up with a flashlight and like points it kind of at a different angle. And I was like, whoa, I didn't know that was over there. And that's really cool. And then somebody else walks over and they're there, their flashlight is a little bit up higher, pointing up higher. And it's like, whoa, I didn't even think to look up. You know, and it's like, you know, I mean, it just seems in the sense, or my projection is, we're all essentially looking at the same thing, the process of waking up. And right now I have whatever, you know, width and length of flashlight, and that's what I can see.
Yeah.
And how, but an assistance.
Yeah.
To basically realize a couple things. Well, one, to see a bunch of other things I didn't see, and to realize that's what was going on. That I was looking with a particular flashlight.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's not the world. Uh-huh. That's just a particular
yeah.
So being part that's being lit up right now.
Yeah, so being in the group and having all these other, let's say, I think we've said it as different nodes of intelligence, you know, in a way they see, you know, to just see, oh, you know, there are other ways to view things.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that, you know, it can seem like that's the whole world view is our view.
Yeah. And gosh, I guess what I've been looking at is just how that's going on all the time. That I know that from an experiential place. Mm-hmm. But when you're, I guess, identified with that particular, whatever light that flashlight is covering, it feels like, well, I know this is my experience right now, but this is generally the, you know, it's like implied, this is generally the universe, or, you know, this is generally the world, and it's like, no, it's just whatever your flashlight's lighting up at this,
that's big.
Illuminating. And the way I've been noticing that is just, you know, continued gifts from being sick, the looking at stillness, mm-hmm. And what was just being talked about, when you're in your hermitage for long periods of time, what I found out is eventually, and there's no distractions, there's nothing to, quote, do, that it can't, the survival system can't really maintain itself. Mm-hmm. After, it can't get through hours upon hours and days and days of quiet and nothing going on. And eventually, I was finding myself in a place of stillness that I didn't recognize I hadn't been in.
It's
kind of similar, like, I know what peace and a larger awareness is. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of drop into something else and you're like, oh. And I'm sure there's another one below that, wider than that. But just one night, I was sitting on the floor of my hermitage, which allowed me to look out my windows in the dark. But there was enough, I guess, moonlight, backlighting the clouds, and you could see the outline of the black pine trees against the backlit clouds. And it's just like everything, it was really quiet. No animal, nothing. I could feel the moisture in the air when I would breathe in and breathe out. Mm-hmm. And then the life energy that's sort of like thriving or vibrating in us. I just imagine I'm often not, there's too much, quote, noise really, and it's like, whoa, mm-hmm. So that kind of experience, and then getting better, and then coming out of the hermitage and going back to kind of what we do here, and watching that same process. Like yesterday, I was watching. I think basically there's just one of my biggest karmas is how am I doing? How do I look? And so, out in the world, it would be something like, well, how did you do at your job today? What did people think about the work that you did? And here, I think it's something about, well, are you present? Are you aware? Mm-hmm. Which I saw yesterday was basically, have you made any mistakes? So apparently, being aware means don't make any mistakes. Because that would really show up to everybody or something. And I was watching that and this kind of intense energy, and it seemed like really moving through a lot of tasks, quote, being really productive, but it was, it felt bounded, kind of like the flashlight, there was a barrier to it, and it was, so it wasn't within, there wasn't anything wrong with that energy, it was just, it wasn't within a larger, it wasn't really, there wasn't a big expansion, contraction like the breath. When you can just feel closing, opening, and a relaxation that's holding maybe the intense energy. And again, before I noticed that, it was like, I'm really with it today.
So there was this, I'm really with it today, but then noticing I'm really with it today was in a very confined, sort of energetic focus, rather than that kind of, as you were going earlier, describing that gorgeous sense of stillness, mm-hmm. and just really feeling the energy of life, feeling the breath come and go from the body, versus this, high energy, are going to get stuff, it sounds like getting something done, real focused.
It was kind of like it wasn't even like I'm gonna get a lot of stuff done. It just felt like there was a lot of energy to move through things, and there was an awareness of the power of that. Mm-hmm. Wow, look what can happen. But still, there was somebody. Where in the hermitage I described before, there was no assessment of how I was doing, or how I was, or what, or anything like that.
You just mentioned that this started to creep in about, am I making any mistakes, sort of thing.
Yeah.
This is quote a good day, sort of thing. If there are no mistakes made,
which really highlights who I'm checking with and how I'm doing.
Yeah.
And the other place I've been noticing that contrast between oh, well, I'm feeling good today, or things are fine, or feeling, you know, pretty here, or I'm aware of the breath, and thinking that's it, that's the floor.
That's it. Uh-huh.
This brings me back to another thing I learned in the illness was I was practicing stopping completely and checking in, because what was happening was, you know, start off the morning, write my note, I'm feeling good, and then jump into doing stuff for several hours, and like through the whole time thinking totally fine, like just like I was when I first reported. And then it would come around lunch and I would stop, and I could feel like the kind of sick fatigue go on. Uh-huh. And then I would really pay attention to that energy, and you could just feel it in my core, like there's still kind of some sort of infection, there's something going on. Uh-huh. That, you know, just an hour ago or 30 minutes ago or 15 minutes ago was, yeah. Oh, you're doing fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
There's the story versus the actual experience.
Yes.
Yes, I'm doing fine, just, you know.
Yeah.
But not actually.
I'm not with my experience.
Not with your experience.
No.
Exactly.
And I'm listening, which, you know, sometimes it's like, what do you mean there's not a me? And how do you, you know, you can see how the me is maintained. it's telling me how how am I doing? It's telling me.
Yeah.
Well, you're fine. I mean, can look at all the things that you're doing. And I mean, your nose is running. And did it, you know, it's like there's a conversation going on, but I'm not really aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like,
wow.
Well, I am doing fine, and look at the evidence of I'm doing fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm doing fine really means don't really be present.
Yeah.
Don't really check in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really fine means I don't need to look, because mm-hmm. I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
I'm not making mistakes. I don't really need to look.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. not getting that I'm maintaining,
yeah.
quote, Scott,
mm-hmm.
in a conversation that I don't realize I'm in until
exactly.
I realize that I'm in it.
And that maybe that I'm doing fine isn't actually coming from Scott.
No.
The not. System's doing great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's fine. If you want
it's fine.
We can just get the guy to think that he's
yeah.
pretty present and not making
yeah.
mistakes,
mm-hmm.
then he'll be asleep enough
right.
for us to siphon off his life force. And
which is so, isn't that, it's so really scary. That is something that will completely take over the physical form.
Yeah.
And drive it.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
And without the opportunity to check in and have an actual experience, a person would believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. have not be fine.
Yeah. So I was just doing it right now. What's amazing is, it's possible to just stop anytime. It reminds me of the
mm-hmm.
Big Bamboozle, maybe the first one around distraction, about do nothing for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just, and I think someone else is practicing doing nothing for 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
Every hour, you know, that we can really just stop anytime.
Mm-hmm. It feels like that's what we're going back to the earlier conversation.
Yeah.
About honesty.
Yes, that was really helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the truth here? And it's just a stopping away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, literally. I mean, and it does come from some practice of I know how to get to that place. I know what that like describing
mm-hmm.
in the hermitage,
mm-hmm.
the moonlight, the moisture, and
mm-hmm.
the stillness. I know that place,
mm-hmm.
and I know to when I stop, I can move to that place,
mm-hmm.
and get a. That place of awareness,
mm-hmm.
that larger awareness,
mm-hmm.
and get in touch with what's actually true.
Yeah, would you say that comes, there's a trust there that sounds like it's been built
yeah.
from experience, a practice of getting to that place
mm-hmm.
of here, now,
yeah.
and being willing to repeat that over and over.
It really is. All of a sudden, I can feel that resting of being a part of,
mm-hmm.
not separate from.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I was talking a little bit earlier in group, I could feel the sort of tension in
yeah.
the core.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And making that movement and that trust that has been built over time, that I can relax into that place of non-separation.
Yeah.
And so many examples lately about, it's incredible, all that thing about, you know, the make that decision that 5% and 95% of the universe gets behind you, and how I just keep getting everything that I want, everything that I need just keeps showing up. Mm-hmm. Not when I necessarily ask for it, but every time I get here, it just like, lately I've had three, like, just like, whoa, mm-hmm. whoa, mm-hmm. life's right here. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, all we're doing is we leave sometimes and then,
yeah.
and then we practice coming back.
Those red flowers are right there.
The red flowers are everywhere. Yeah.
We're getting just what we need.
Yeah, thank you.